Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome back, everyone, to the Synergy Connection Show. I have as my guest today Kristen Gieselin, and Kristen's been on with me before, but we're going to be talking this morning about experiencing life as a new intuitive. I think all of us have intuition. A lot of us don't use it, but these are people that are beginning to recognize that they have a path that they are following, and they're listening and they're following some internal direction, I would say. That might be the way to look at this. Before we actually begin the show, though, I want to again remind you about going to Boomers Forever Young on my website. We've talked since the beginning of 2020 about the importance of being healthy physically as your foundation. And I've said before, and I will continue to say, that if we don't have our health, the rest of it is really pretty tough to connect the dots to. You don't have the energy, you don't have maybe, if you're in pain all the time, if you're not sleeping well, if nutritionally your body isn't getting what it needs, then you're going to be struggling to put the rest of these dots together, whether it's emotional or mental or spiritual. So please go check out Boomers Forever Young. Sign up for their newsletter. They have a monthly newsletter, and it's free, and you can sign up for that very easily on my website. So again, it's synergyconnectionradio.com. And Kristen, of course, she is known for catalyzing positive changes. She's done this for hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the years. She works with nonprofit organization. She is available for personal and business consultations, mentoring, custom workshops, and presentations. So she's a busy lady. And you can contact her at Kristen Gieselin MS on Facebook at KristenGieselin2@gmail.com or call her at 727-678-3761. And so we're going to go ahead and jump right into, I guess, maybe explaining to listeners, what on earth is intuition and how do people know if they even use it?
Yeah, I think most people have some idea what intuition is. Like when you just get that feeling and you don't know why you're getting a feeling about something, either a positive vibe or a not so good vibe. Almost everybody has had that at some point in their life.
Like, don't go down that road.
Yeah, like, don't go down that road, or you meet someone and you're just like, not sure I really like that person too well. And there's, you know, often a reason behind that. You get a vibe. And I think almost everybody has had a few of those experiences. And I think what you said at the start of the show is really sort of where the rubber meets the road. Are people feeling comfortable about tuning into that to a greater extent and following those little
nudges?
Exactly. Or are they still kind of like using their data brain and saying, well, that doesn't make sense?
You know, I think the background of people, how they were raised, maybe how much religiosity, if you will, they have in their life, how conservative their families were, the more you go that route, the more they probably go, this doesn't make sense, this is spooky, this is scary. And those of us who didn't grow up quite that way, you know, maybe a little less.
But it might be that, you know, who knows how people kind of sort that through. I mean, I do believe that intuition involves the left brain as well as the right brain.
The right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's not like it's just all one thing. Because, you know, our brain, you know, our data gathering and collecting and experience, you know, shuffling brain does play into it. Mm-hmm. But there's also things that I think come to us, you know, straight out of the energetic matrix that are random, you know, would appear to be random.
So if somebody was, you know, had never experienced any of this, and then all of a sudden they're in their 50s or 60s, maybe their 70s, and they get a bolt of lightning that goes, bingo, I'm going to show you something bigger than what you ever thought was out there. Probably scare the you know what out of them, right?
Yeah, it can be shocking, you know, at first, you know, because these kinds of experiences shake up your worldview.
Yes, they do.
And then you have to, you know, that person has to reassess what was a very clear and concrete belief system in order to integrate whatever that thing was.
And then what do they do with that as they try to integrate it? Is that what you're going to talk about today?
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly. I mean, a lot of people, when it first happens, they ask themselves, am I going crazy? And am I going crazy, or how is my, I think a more positive way to think about that is, you know, where, how am I doing with my mental wellness? You know, how balanced is my life? You know, am I achieving the goals that I set? Am I relatively happy?
Or maybe the goals that you set aren't the ones you're supposed to even been following.
Well, that's true. I mean, if they're making you happy, they probably are. But if you're just kind of on a rat wheel and wondering what you're doing and why you're doing it, then it's probably
maybe
time
not.
To reassess. Yeah.
Right.
And that happens to many people. You know, sometimes they're so tightly running on the rat wheel that then something major happens, you know, an illness, a catastrophic illness, or, you know, who knows what happens, but somehow they get a reroute, you know, from the universe, and then it's time to reassess. I feel like a lot of the women, it's mostly women, I do have some men that show up that are like, yeah, I'm really intuitive. A lot of times they're in the healthcare fields or the teaching fields and stuff like that. It's a process. It's not like they wake up one day and it's all cleared up for them. You know, it takes time. And it's a process of going, oh, you know, I feel like maybe I am a little more intuitive than I used to think I was. Or, oh, this seems to be happening more frequently. And what does this mean? And where do I go with this? And is this just for me? Do I share this with others? So there's a lot of questions that start to come up.
Yeah, I, you know, because this is a radio show, I liken it a little bit to, you've got a favorite station and you watch or listen to that station all the time. Maybe it's YouTube, maybe it's, you know, radio, maybe it's something else, but just by accident you go like 0.2 over and you hear something else for the first time and you go, oh wow, that's different. And so it's kind of like our brain has that ability to fine-tune us into another station where we start receiving information that we didn't even know was out there.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Our consciousness, you know, who knows if it's exactly the brain, you know, it's something to do with
something.
With the brain and our connectedness to all things that are sentient or alive. And
right. And if we're vibrational creatures, our vibrations just have moved to a slightly different frequency.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And this happens sometimes to people along with a difficulty, I've noticed, that something challenging happens that sort of takes out their normal view of self. One of the clients that I have had twins, and one of them was on the autism spectrum. So she was expecting one baby, then there's two, then one has special needs. So then there's this whole universe of new stuff that she needed to deal with. Plus, when you think about it, if someone's on the spectrum, being able to communicate intuitively is going to be very good, you know, for you as a parent, because that person may not be able to articulate their needs verbally all the time. And it's up to you as the parent to be able to, you know, still be a good caregiver.
Right.
So so it can happen so many different ways where people have a sudden awakening. Or some people have these gifts when they're young, and then they're sort of trained out of them. You know, a relative or whatever will say, oh, we don't talk about that, or, oh, no, that's not real, or, you know, there'll be some kind of social messaging that causes the person to start to disconnect from their intuitive way of understanding reality.
I'm also thinking in the past I'd worked with families where a grandparent had died, and maybe the grandfather or the grandmother, either one, you know, were exceptionally close to a grandchild. And then that grandchild says, you know, I talked to grandma last night, or I talked to grandpa last night. And then the parent goes, no, but, you know, they're now deceased, you know, you can't talk to them anymore. No, they were here. And so we know that that's possible. But children and elderly people are more likely to tune into that, if you will. And, you know, those of us that are very busy in the world sometimes just don't hear as well. So that, I'm sure that that's part of this intuition as well, as our listening devices sometimes need fine-tuning.
Oh, right. And, you know, most people during the core years of their life are busy working, raising families. They're doing a lot of stuff. And so they may not be taking the quiet time that it takes to cultivate the tuning in to be a listener.
Right.
You know, and, you know, even almost everybody that I ever hear describing their meditation experience will say, oh, I try to meditate, but, you know, all these thoughts keep coming, and then I don't know, and I sit there for 5 minutes. I don't know if anything happened. You know, they're always, like, in that wrestling mode unless they're really consummate meditators, and then they have a technique or a style, or they've been following a specific practice, and they kind of understand how to do it in such a way that you're embracing that process, you know, and, you know, you learn how to work with it. So for a lot of people, the sort of dialing, you know, shifting that dial over on the radio scanner, they're really not sure how to do that exactly. Mm-hmm. So if it does shoot over a little bit, it just happened incidentally.
Right, right.
But with the older and the younger people too, if you think about it, when you first come into this realm, you have had more recent contact not in this realm. Mm-hmm. So there's that more greater connection with consciousness. And then the same thing on the other side, you know, when it's time to transition, I think people start, little pieces of them are starting to sort of slide over to the other side a little bit before they're actually gone.
Right.
You know, they're starting to connect with the other side again. So in a way, that makes sense, you know, that when you first get here and on your way out, you would be a little bit more tuned in to, you know, the collective unconscious and the matrix of whatever you want to call it, infinite intelligence.
Mm-hmm. I just learned something from actually one of the individuals that I have on my show. I was speaking with him a couple of weeks ago now, and he used to work in hospice. And one of the things that he pointed out is that the veil, if you will, that is between life and death is the thinnest between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m, that more patients die in hospice during that period of time than any other time, which I found, I don't know why I didn't know that, but I didn't. And so I found that kind of fascinating, because I think that I travel quite often between the hours of 3 and 5 energetically to other places. And I always know when I'm there, and I always know when I come back. So, you know, that's something that's just been happening over the last year. And I know I'm not, you know, getting ready to leave, but I think I'm learning how to leave energetically to go someplace. So, you know, intuition, I don't know whether that fits into intuition or that's just another dimension.
Well, you know, the paranormal is gigantic. Uh-huh. It's sort of like, you know, intuition is sort of like a gateway, you know, into so many different types mm-hmm. of experiences. And, you know, normally when we hear the word intuition, we think about incoming data. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting some kind of data coming in a way that's not the regular way, whether that's, you know, a vision or an auditory experience or something that you feel in your body, a sensory experience. It can come in a lot of different ways. You know, for me, you know, like the dream time is very powerful, and it's mm-hmm. interesting that you should mention that 3 to 5 zone,
right?
Because I usually wake up at 3 a.m. and I've noticed that I've been having dreams between 3 and when I wake up that are just chock blocked. And I do keep a dream journal, because a lot of times I can't really completely fully analyze all the elements until I start to write it out,
mm-hmm.
because it's coming to me in densely packed symbolic, you know, format. So then I'll unpack that, and then I start to go, oh, okay,
now see.
Exactly. Now it makes more sense to me why these different things were showing up. So I do try to keep a dream journal for that purpose. And I do, there's some dreams that just seem like they're processing the day, but then there's other dreams that they have a slightly different quality to them
mm-hmm.
that are either from my spiritual practice. I can recognize it as it's definitely in that zone, or it will be trying to inform me about something, to direct or guide me. And it's even happened, like one time I had a car crash and I needed to make a decision about who was going to fix my car. So I dreamt about someone whose father had an auto body shop and the child had inherited the I dreamt about the child who was now running the auto body shop. So then I knew where to take my car.
Where to take your car.
Yeah, right. So that was, you know, like a simple kind of thing, but I guess it was stressing me, mm-hmm. you know, and then that felt comfortable that this mm-hmm. person would be honest with me. Mm-hmm. They knew me from, you know, the past, and I felt, you know, like it was a good place to have that done. So it could be something kind of mundane sometimes. It's not like a huge earth-shattering thing.
Yeah, right.
But it still reduced my stress level. And, you know, having a functional vehicle is something we all like to have. So,
exactly.
you know, it was important to me at the moment.
Exactly. So if somebody were just beginning to appreciate some of their intuitive gifts, what would you suggest that they do? You know, so that they could get into feeling that this is perfectly normal, this is something, you know, that is literally a gift to me to help me on my life path.
Right. Well, the first thing is you're going to have to expect a certain amount of like a disorientation mm-hmm. feeling. Mm-hmm. It is going to feel a little bit odd, but that's okay. It's like you start to learn to live with more ambiguity when things are coming in that way, and you learn to work with it and understand it as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't like just expect yourself to just like jump on the bike and ride off, you know, give yourself some time, you know, you have to get a feel for this. So, you know, it's sort of, I think you have to be patient. You
mm-hmm.
know, I think what I do notice is some people feel impatient, like, okay, what does this mean? Why is this happening? You know, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, and they start getting all this like mental churn about it. And it's like, no, just relax. You know, this is going to become clear to you over time. It's just like learning any new skill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to be a whiz at it overnight. You know, so don't stress yourself. It's like, you know, don't add more stress. This is supposed to be a positive. Okay. Then one of the other things that can happen is sometimes people think, ooh, this is so special. This is happening to me. I am so wonderful. And it's like, yes, you are wonderful, but everyone else is wonderful too.
We all have.
Okay.
It.
And yes, and everyone has this, you know, inherent ability to tune in this way. Now, were the circumstances just right? Maybe you came to this lifetime with this particular skill set more developed than another person. You know, maybe you didn't really do a lot of work to get this. So this was handed to you. You know, some people, I think, cultivate their intuitive ability more than others. Some
right.
people just come with certain gifts.
Well, I know that they are, I believe they're called crystal children, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that there's a lot more of them being born now than ever before. And these are kids that seem to have this unique ability to understand or to see beyond what is just right in front of them. They're kind of the guides, if you will, into a more peaceful place. So, you know, would that be some of these kind of people that you would be meeting?
Well, you know, I haven't really focused on working with kids. I
mm-hmm.
did do a reading for a child. I've done a couple readings for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they feel reassured. You know, it's
normal.
Like, well, yeah, and, well, I think they, how can I say, I want to kind of put myself back in that experience. I think they need to feel a little anchoring,
mm-hmm.
this particular type of child, and have some grounding energy
mm-hmm.
around their thing, because
mm-hmm.
they might start to feel odd. Okay, this
so
is one of the problems is when people start to have these, we'll say, paranormal experiences, whether they had a visit from a deceased loved one or they're starting to have visions or hear voices or whatever within the realm of they are mentally well. This
mm-hmm.
is not like
mm-hmm.
a psychotic delusion type of thing.
Exactly.
They can feel separated or isolated from
and
others.
Not like everybody else.
Or different. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be, nobody wants to feel that. Everybody wants to belong. Everyone wants to feel like what they have going on that's special, other people are going to value.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit of like, you know, when I worked with that one boy a couple times ago at the intuitive fair, I think he just wanted to feel it felt like I needed to give him structure and organization.
Mm-hmm. So did you know? Tell him to go hug a tree?
I did not. I felt like we had specific things we were working on.
Okay.
I mean, the child was having some school challenges or something, mm-hmm. but there were some very clear stuff coming through. I can't remember all the details now. It's starting to come back to me. But it was like, okay, here's where you sort of have leeway. Mm-hmm. Like, don't worry about this over here. But this over here, you have to get on top of, you know. You're this age, and these are the expectations. And so I try to deliver the straight talk, you mm-hmm. know, when I do readings. I'm not going to candy coat things and soft pedal, but I'm going to deliver the message with as much gentleness and positive spin as possible. I treated him with the same dignity and respect that I would treat an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And just try to scale it, you know, to the level that would be understandable. I think he was like 8 or 9 to a person that age.
I'm sure he really appreciated you just talking to him too.
Right, exactly. And encouraging. Okay, I always feel like, you know, there's so many people that don't get to starting even considering the spiritual element of their evolution until much later in life, until they've had some crash and burns or whatever else has happened.
You know, one of the things that I think is so true of our artist in life, Salvador Dali, I'm sure, was one of them. Picasso, you know, a lot of our musicians, we know that Mozart was kind of out there. And so I do think they walked to the beat of a different drummer, so to speak. And our kids today that are budding intuitives, that are coming into understanding that we are so much more than this flesh that walks around on these bones. You know, we are energetic beings that have the ability to heal, to hear, you know, the right direction if we stop to listen, if we pay attention. And so if you're doing a reading for a child, you know, getting that validation that I'm not crazy, or having somebody come to you, whether they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, or beyond, you know, understanding that what I'm feeling, what I'm hearing, doesn't mean I'm nuts. You know, they need to hear that.
Oh, absolutely. And by the same token, we don't want to say just because you have intuitive gifts, it means you're mentally well, because these are two different buckets.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes people are mixing these buckets together uh-huh. in a way they should not be mixed.
Right.
So
there are some standards, and you and I both know what the standards are. Like if somebody is hearing voices, and they make an appointment. Usually those are the ones that don't make the appointments, by the way.
Mm.
But if they were going to make an appointment because they weren't sure that they were okay. We talked about this a little bit before we started recording. But knowing that they're not going to harm themselves or others is really important. Because if you're hearing that you should carry out an act that would be detrimental to your health or anybody else's, that's not necessarily intuitive understandings. That's something altogether different. Probably a chemical imbalance of some sort going on. And what are some of the other things that you have witnessed yourself?
Right. Well, one of the things that I've noticed is some people who develop their intuitive abilities, it's because they were growing up in stressful environments
mm-hmm.
where the intuition helped them cope. Okay, it was a coping strategy. So mm-hmm. that could have been a very rigid environment. You know, alcoholism, mental health
mm-hmm.
situation. And so sometimes they do have well-developed intuitive gifts, but their social boundaries and their psychological boundaries are not in good shape.
Yeah, non-existent.
Or non-existent, right,
mm-hmm.
exactly. And or what ends up happening with these people is, to me, I've noticed a correlation between good social psychological boundaries and energetic boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So people who do not have good social mental health boundaries and personal boundaries are often either putting their energy into environments in ways that is not really helping the other environment, or they're sucking up energy from environments that doesn't serve them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was a person that I saw many years ago, and she actually had, when I met her, 17 different personalities. And most of the time, your multiple personality patterns are such that they don't invest in you for very long, because the objective of any therapist is to integrate the personalities and end up with one that's functioning for all of them. It doesn't mean you're going to lose the others. It's just that you have one that's in the driver's seat. So they don't like that. And once, you know, there's a bonding going on, then usually they're not very happy and they skedoodle. But this person stayed with me for 2.5 years, which was very interesting, but very, very, very possessive. And so, you know, she expected me to be able to drop everything at a moment's notice to see her. So jealous, possessiveness. And that can be one of the clues, I guess you might say, you know, with people that maybe have mental health issues and might be hearing things, because I know she heard things all the time. There was one particular moment, her eyes would change color.
Wow.
And I always knew which one was coming to see me because of that. And sometimes the little girl would come and she would be hysterical. But there was one that came whose eyes would be more green, and she hated me. And so I made sure that I was very close to the door if I needed to make an exit, because she was known to bring weapons.
Oh.
So, yeah, you just, and you know, my staff knew at the time that if she had an appointment, you know, just to be on guard. So that was kind of an ongoing thing. But, you know, again, the voices that people might hear as an intuitive are going to be dramatically, I think, different than the voices that somebody might hear where there's self-harm involved, or go kill this person, you know, a directive.
Yes, exactly. And I just wanted to go back just 1 second, and we'll come back to this, but before mm-hmm. we go too far past the child, mm-hmm. anytime a child is interested in spirituality, you know, that should really be cultivated, because yes, we want our children to grow up and be successful and whatever they do in a career and have a family and all that. But I think that our society got really skewed with Madison Avenue and the greedy 90s toward, you know, material success mm-hmm. as being the only success and the only thing valuable in society. And, mm-hmm. you know, we can see what the result of that is. We need to have people in our society that care about holding sacred space. And so if you notice that in your child or in a young person, take the time to, you know, expose them to some opportunities for spiritual development or growth. You know, share what you understand, or, you know, if you're the parent of that child, this is so precious and so valuable and rare and ought to be cultivated in some way that, you know, fits, of course, with your family values.
I'm going to have you explain for a moment, because I am feeling that there are going to be some listeners that go, well, what do you actually mean when you say a child is holding sacred space? What does that mean?
Well, I'm thinking more actually as they grow up. But okay. We need to have, you know, we need to have people who stand up for spiritual values in society.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who...
Which isn't the same as religious values, though.
Not necessarily. It could be. Mm-hmm. I mean, spiritual and religious in the best case overlaps, but it doesn't always,
mm-hmm.
you know. But yeah, people who care about non-material reality.
Well, I would think a lot of them might be those that would say, we need to go collect trash, you know, along this highway.
Right.
Or those that want to save, you know, turtles. Or I just saw that, I think it was on Facebook, actually, but the last of the female soft-shell turtles is dead, you know, and she was 90 years old. And they never could artificially inseminate her because she wasn't interested in having sex with the male turtles. So they have two left that are male turtles and no females.
Oh.
And so that particular turtle is extinct at this point.
That's very sad.
So, I mean, you know, a child, a teenager, maybe a college student, a young adult that wants to say, let's do something about cleaning up Mother Earth.
Right, and we have so many of them. I mean, mm-hmm. that's one of the things I love most, you know, on my Facebook feed is mm-hmm. all these young people who are brilliant,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're turning plastic into wonderful things.
Did you see the one about the bicycle path? You know, it glows.
Oh,
at night.
Yeah, the glowing bicycle path. Yeah, that's
what
a solar thing.
It's
sucks up solar
yeah.
during the day and, yeah. and glows at night. Yeah, there's so many, you know, these, yeah, we want to cultivate these people. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that have, you know, that are brilliant and have hearts of compassion.
Exactly.
You know, these are the people that we really need to
and
take care of
and
foster.
And they're not going after the almighty dollar just for the sake of getting rich.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
yeah. So these people are so precious and wonderful. And we really want to take good care of them and acknowledge them. And, you know, they may also have other sensitivities. You know, they may not be strong in every area, but certain areas. And you know, when you see these posts of these children who are, like, doing creative things to pay the lunch debt at their
yes.
at their schools or something,
yes.
it's like these are the really shining bright stars that we want to really protect and take care of and nurture for the future.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, and in cases like that, especially if you have a child like that, as the parents, you really are going to have to fly by the seat of your
mm-hmm.
pants and use your intuition, because there's not a guidebook for these children. You know, these are special children.
Last night I was watching the ABC Evening News that goes from 6:30 to 7, and they finished with this beautiful story. They'll always have, like, a good news story, thank goodness, because we don't have a lot of good news these days. But this was a little boy who was special needs. He I think had been fighting leukemia for 7 years. And this is terrible because I'm not sure whether it was the Bruins, but I believe it was the Bruins, but it was an ice hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would sit down in the box as they would exit the ice, and he would do a fist pump with each one of them. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I think I've seen this, yeah.
And he was so cute. So they had this footage of him when he was maybe 6, 7, 8 years old. He's 11 now. And he made a basketball team as their mascot, but he also got to throw in the first basket. And the whole team from both sides that they were playing gave him the opportunity to make that swish. So he got the first basket, but the team is so supportive of him. And so kids are learning this empathy. They're learning, I think, intuitively to understand somebody else. You know, that it's not a me-ism. But like you said on the last show you were here, it's more of a be-ism. Of being able to be in the moment with somebody who maybe has less abilities, but be with them. So it's just so cool.
That is very cool. It's awesome. I love to hear those positive stories, you know, like you said, as opposed to some of the other stuff that we're hearing so often about conflict and not being able to solve the problems of living on the
mm-hmm.
on the planet, yeah,
right.
Because people being too attached to their position, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. I wanted to talk a little bit about something that my clients have been sharing with me, these budding intuitives that I'm working with, about sometimes when they're in a work situation or in the past, and maybe it's happened in more than one work situation or even a social situation. You know, they're coming to some sort of an awareness about something that's important to address or pay attention to
mm-hmm.
intuitively.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not be able to explain 100% in a data-driven way why they are having a feeling about something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's coming into their head cognitively or they're feeling it in their stomach, they're clairsentient, somehow they're getting a little heads up about there needs to be some attention paid to something.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say their boss or supervisor or the person who's a decision maker is like, well, okay, that's great, but tell me why and how you know that. And they're just not able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That can be very hard because that person is really coming from an honest place, from a sincere place, a place where they care about the outcome and the situation, but the other person is not able to receive that because the way that knowledge is coming is outside of their worldview. And that's tough. And I've had the people I'm working with will say, you know, I just started to really doubt myself. My self-confidence was affected.
Because they couldn't explain why.
Exactly. And because then they were not as valued in the workplace. In fact, they may have been seen as less competent in the workplace, even though they were actually producing well
mm-hmm.
because of the way they were communicating
yeah.
what they were knowing.
Right.
Okay.
So if they didn't have the facts to back it up, then
exactly.
it wasn't as important.
Exactly. And we have to understand it's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. That person that's very data-driven and fact-based, that is how they deal with the world. Mm-hmm. So as an intuitive person, you cannot expect them to have the same experience that you have, and you have to accept that that's where they're coming from. And accept that that's just what they need to have. And so you might not be able to help that person. You know, if they're not open, then it's just not necessarily going to happen. In fact, I saw a really neat thing on Goop. Gwyneth Paltrow has a show called Goop, and she did lots of different consciousness exploration shows. Mm-hmm. And one of them was a show where they did have a medium, a psychic medium, come on, and they had the staff members doing different intuitive exercises, and the staff members, some of them were also receiving readings from the psychic medium. And one of the people in the group was just really not open to it at all. She was really challenging the psychic and not just really strong disbeliever. What was interesting is that the messages that started coming in to the psychic medium did not go to that person, but went to one of the cameramen or camerawoman, okay, because she was open. She was open. And so pretty soon the camera woman said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, you know, I'm crying," and they realized the messages were not for the person sitting in front of the psychic medium. Goodness. They were for this woman who was behind the camera.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And then conversely, there was another woman that was one of the staff members of Goop who had played around with some intuitive stuff. And so the medium psychic was doing exercises with all the staff members to see what they could actually do. Mm-hmm. And a whole bunch of stuff came through to her that was very, very accurate for the partner that she was working with. In fact, so much so that she was shocked herself. So she had way underestimated, you know, what her abilities as an intuitive might be, simply because she hadn't really been in a setup like that where she had an opportunity to you know, be in sort of a double blind situation where she might not really know anything about the other person or the details of their life, and yet a whole bunch of data came through for her for that person. So it was just very, very interesting.
You know, back a number of years ago, I don't think it's as popular today, but there was a test that was called the Myers-Briggs test.
Oh, yeah. It's still out there.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know how many businesses use it.
But oh, it's still popular.
Is it? Okay.
Yep.
So when I was in Green Bay, that was one of the tests that a lot of the companies that I was affiliated with, you know, working with, we would use that because that would show intuitives the gift they bring to the company, and it would show somebody who was more... you know, like there's like 16 letters.
Right. They use it. I think it's a judge. I think that term is, it's a J. I think they use judging.
Actually, it's the T.
Oh, is it the T? Thinking.
Yeah, thinking.
Oh, well, thinking. Okay.
Analytical.
Thinking. Okay.
Because
thinking,
J's
right.
are just all about, being organized.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, you can be in an intuitive
right.
and be organized.
Yes.
But if you're very analytical,
T.
show me the facts.
All
you know,
T. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, but they need each other, mm-hmm. you know, and it actually works well even in marriages because you need somebody who can look at that. I mean, I am not a T. I am a very, very strong N for intuitive, and I'm a very strong F for feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But I need somebody in my life that is willing to read the fine print because I don't want to. I'm not interested in the fine print. I don't care if my checkbook balances to the penny, but I need that person in my life to kind of do those things.
Right.
So, you know, it's never this way or that way. It's kind of, for the intuitive, it's understanding that you will attract to you that counterpart, that person that is going to give you the balance, so you're not just off floating down the river without a destination.
Right, right, exactly. And, you know, part of what I find helps is just educating other people,
right.
just letting other people know this is how I am.
Right.
And then they have some idea what to expect.
Exactly.
Okay, and you can be like, okay, you don't want to, like, create more isolation. But I also feel sad for people who are feeling isolated mm-hmm. because they think that they've always been different from everybody else. Oh, I never followed the pack. I was always doing my own thing. Well, you know, one of my clients now looks back and says, thank goodness because my life is in much better shape than a lot of these other people's lives. But as it was going on, made her feel less than, separate from, maybe not okay, weird, all kinds of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But in retrospect, oh, maybe it was good that I wasn't following the pack all the time, because that normal, huh, quote, quote, in brackets thing led to some not so good outcomes for some of those people.
Exactly. Okay. Well, how many times, I mean, for me, I recognized it, but how many times as you were a teenager or in college, did you recognize that I'm not quite like everybody else that I hang around with?
Right. And there were some people that were I felt more connected to uh-huh. than others, uh-huh. you know. So we need to have intimate connections. We need to have close connections. Right. And so, you know, part of what I feel like is important and I encourage people to do as they are developing their intuitive gifts is to get with other people who are also intuitive and realize that you are not alone.
Yeah. Do you encourage them to maybe journal as well? So that
sure, journaling, there's so many different things. Some of them are already doing that because they're getting they're channelers, uh-huh. you know, so they channel stuff or they journal their experiences, and that does definitely help because it's, you know, it's a way to process things. Uh-huh. You know, journaling, I have like the dream journal, my psychological stuff journal. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And I write, you know, in the different ones.
Do you ever go back a few years and look at where you were?
You know, I do, especially, well, the one that I have archived most well is this dreams that were spiritual. And that goes back through my life. I have that years back. So that's got a real strong sort of trajectory, you know, record of what has happened for me in that way. That's the one that I felt was most important and has the most consistency, you know, uh-huh. over time. Uh-huh. So I think I started keeping that like in my 20s and I'm 56. So that's got a long history.
It does.
Some of the other stuff, you know, shorter. I keep a journal. If I get a reading, I write that in a journal. So the information that's coming to me from other intuitives is in there. Let's see. And one of the other things that I find is that as people's intuitive gifts start to expand and grow, they do often feel like they want to help others, but then they also know that they might still have unhealed stuff in their own psychology or even related to this intuitive opening process. So it's not that you have to be, you know, 100% perfect before you can do anything for someone else, but to take the time to focus on healing the things that you think you need to heal is important. Mm-hmm. So like when I'm working with these different intuitives, sometimes I'm both teaching classes and I'm providing private theta healing sessions so that we can go in and clear up some of this like misconceptions, you know, that they had about themselves because of these differences, you know, that were there all the time. So they're not trying to, you know, psychological or self, you know, sort of the way we view ourselves, you know, of course, affects everything that we do, you know, as we go forward. So sort of being attentive about not becoming a wounded healer and cleaning up that stuff is important. Uh-huh. So that's part of what I've been doing with the folks that I mentor is, you know, they'll come to classes and meet other intuitives and learn. And then I also do the private sessions. That way we can get that stuff cleared out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a bunch of bags that they have to remove.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's plenty of programming that we're not conscious of. Mm-hmm. You know, and I like using the intuitive anatomy system in theta healing because it has beliefs related to the different
explain that because sure. I'm sure that there's somebody that went what.
Yeah, so in many of you I'm sure knew about Louise Hay. She was sort of one of the first persons, you know, in our collective, you know, culture that talked about how different metaphysical realities connect to different things that happen in your body. Okay. And so Vianna Stiebel, who created Theta Healing, sort of took that to the next level. Very, mm-hmm. very well developed. And, you know, I was maybe fairly skeptical at the beginning when I first started doing this Theta Healing, but I'm starting to see enough really amazing change happen with people and their belief systems. And one of the ways that you can sort of get, for me, a quick read is to go through the different body systems. And there's mm-hmm. certain beliefs that go with those body systems.
Uh-huh.
And when I do the diagnostics for that, I can create like a chart and say, okay, let's say this one's, so let's say there's four different areas that I'm looking at. We look at the core, the genetic, the soul level, and the historical level. And so maybe 3 out of 4 are not good in a particular mm-hmm. belief, then mm-hmm. you know that's one you want to work in.
Right. So if somebody comes to you and says, I have had this nagging lower back ache forever.
Exactly.
Then how are you going to...
We're going to... First of all, I like to check those levels. So we'll start with the skeletal system. Mm-hmm. It could be an organ thing, but I would start with the skeletal system. And we do muscle testing mm-hmm. to determine in which of those areas that person... I usually ask is functioning at 70% or above. That's something I just created myself. If they are, then I'm not going to worry about it. Mm-hmm. If it's below 70% in any of those areas, there's some beliefs related to that mm-hmm. that are driving that train. And what I found is it's almost like when you play that game, I don't know, this is like way dating myself, but there used to be this game called Pixie Sticks where you put all these sticks in a pile and you'd pull one out and then the other sticks would like fall. And it's sort of like that. Sometimes if I can get like a cluster of beliefs support a bunch of other beliefs. Uh-huh. So once we get into those key ones that are probably the ones that are the most out of alignment with the person's highest good, uh-huh. then we pull those out and shoot, all the ones around it start to dissolve.
So if I was going to, you know, kind of summarize maybe a little bit about what you're saying here, if somebody had low back pain, if they had foot pain, leg pain, that's all the support system of mm-hmm. getting your body around. Mm-hmm. And so if that core belief was, I have to support everyone around me, then that's too much.
Right.
And therefore, they're going to have problems with their lower extremities and maybe their lower back because they've been carrying everybody forever.
Right. And the thing that I've noticed is that people sort of have an idea what's going on, but a lot of times this is sort of like an investigative process mm-hmm. where we go down and then the thing that's really causing the trouble is sort of over to the left or up to the right or diagonal. And they're like, oh, you know, like if it was so clear, then you wouldn't keep making it. You know, if it was so clear how in consciousness you were creating right. this, you wouldn't keep doing it.
Now, here's the sad part, and I think you'll be totally in agreement here, is that same person that wasn't maybe using theta healing, they go to their traditional doctor, and they've got the low back pain, they've got neuropathy in their feet, they've got, you know, whatever it is. And the doctor is listening, but is not really asking the right questions to figure out that this is more an emotional situation than it is a physical situation. So they give prescriptions. And then those prescription drugs have side effects that lead to other side effects. And boy, that becomes a really vicious circle.
Right. Well, what I normally do is I encourage my clients, if they're having a physical crisis, like I worked with somebody that had a skin thing that was mm-hmm. out of control. So she did all the normal things to take care of that with physicians, uh-huh. which she should do. Uh-huh. But if we don't get the shift in consciousness,
exactly.
then we're still continuing to create that result.
Right.
So
should be taking medication forever.
Yeah, I'm working at the level of the consciousness, which is, you know, that takes time to outpicture in the body. Uh-huh. So when we first started working together, I looked at, you know, did some intuitive stuff, and it was like, oh, 14 months. 14 months until integrity or wholeness. Mm-hmm. So it was going to be a long ride. Now, we're not still working together. We worked together for about 8 months. But we did enough, you know, undoing and foundation laying. That doesn't mean that she may not still have to monitor her skin mm-hmm. very closely, because she had certain belief systems that were driving that in place for decades. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a long time to completely shift that. But, you know, healing doesn't mean... healing is about symptomatic relief and being able to live a full life. It doesn't mean that the whole thing is completely 100% resolved.
No.
But if there's a way for that not to consume your life. I mean, when I first started working with her, a lot of times she'd be like, well, I'm sick. I'm like, okay, let's see what we can do to change that storyline. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm having a health challenge. Uh-huh. Okay, that's first of all way better than I'm sick. Okay.
Right.
Then we start to look at, okay, well, how is this, you know, what is the genesis of this? You know, when does this act up? You know, let's look at where this is coming from. You know, the skin is very much about boundaries. You know, that's your boundary between you and the world. Mm-hmm. And with this particular client, there were all kinds of circles that she was in where the boundaries could be fuzzy or vague. And so she had to really work to say, okay, here is my time. Here's when I'm in this circle. Here's when I'm in this circle. Mm-hmm. You know, and she and her husband partner, okay, in a big work that they do, almost like a ministry, Okay, so that's a big part of her life. But where was the circle that was just her? It's like she hardly had. Yeah, there was hardly any. It was like, you know, I was drawing Venn diagrams for her. I'm like, okay, look, we got all these circles. You need to have some of it that's over here, right? That's not part of all these other things laid on top of you. That's too much, you know, because you're losing.
And so her skin was breaking down because she absolutely had no way to help herself.
Exactly. Yeah. And so now she knows that's like the first, when that starts to go, she has to go back to those other behaviors, different diet, different sleeping, different activity structure, whatever. She cannot.
Taking time for her, probably.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, you know, otherwise her body says no, you know, right there. Hello. Your body's saying no. And it's over years. I mean, these are things that, you know, have been going on for decades.
Well, that's one of the things that when we talk about foundational wellness, you know, with just health in general,
right,
is people need to really appreciate that you don't get better tomorrow.
Right.
You know, you have to go back and, you know, address the health issues, and maybe you do need some pharmaceutical in there for a little bit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you don't address what got you there and begin to turn that train around, you just continue down the same track.
Yep.
You know, it's never going to really get well.
Right. And I do think that a lot of times when there's a big physical challenge, people almost automatically have some intuitive ideas about how this has happened. You know, if you just say randomly, if you were just randomly going to tell me how, what was the genesis of this? Okay, we'll pretend no one's judging, no one's assessing you when you say this. Just if you happen to know, what would it be, that question, they will come up with something that's pretty darn close to what happened. And then you can start, you know.
Well, and it's amazing because sometimes it, you know, it's a point in your childhood that you've totally forgotten. And then as you're kind of examining it, it's like, oh, yeah, I do remember that. And boy, that just sent me on a whole different path than maybe the path that I was on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whatever stories we tell ourselves as kids just build into these belief systems, you know. And when you're little, you don't have a broad worldview.
No.
So you don't necessarily have, you know, a very correct barometer for the story that you're making up. And it may be make a lot of sense for the little slice of reality that you have experienced, but that's only that little tiny slice.
Right.
So, and generally, those beliefs served you in some way for a certain amount of time. The question is, when are those beliefs worn out? So there's no judgment about having had them to begin with. They serve a purpose, but then they expire. They have an expiration date, and then it's time to like refresh.
How many times do you get into your refrigerator and realize you've got stuff in there that was expired a long time ago?
Exactly. And so that's really a lot of what we're doing here to get these intuitives really ready to move forward with their lives, is clearing out that expired stuff.
Exactly.
And then the other thing is, you know, intuitive gifts are great, but I believe that it's important for people to operate within some kind of spiritual framework that is, you know, greater than themselves. Okay. And of course, almost every intuitive that you ever meet has some form or fashion of that. But those that are the most skillful, I think, are the ones that really have that as a very high priority and are able to have some community where they can go to refill or double check or be kept in check. And, you know, because we all have ego that can always just spin out. And when we have people who are further along than we are or our peers to give us feedback, that helps us stay in track, you know, with what who we really want to be and who we want to grow and what part of us may be expired.
Now, for somebody listening to the show that is saying, you know, I totally identify with what Kristen is saying, but I don't know where to go find, you know, that one person, two people, three people that can help keep me in check, that can validate, that can support. That
right. Well, the next thing I'm teaching a class on starting February 19th, which is to amping up your intuitive mojo and staying mindfully grounded.
There you go.
So that's the community. You know, we create a community and people have stayed in touch from the last one that I did and have continued to support each other. And then we have an ongoing group, okay, called All Hands on Deck, which is is where we work with the deck that we use as our intuitive tool when we do the intuitive mojo class. So I do have that, you know, at least a nugget, okay, for people to start this.
Okay. But, and you know, how do they sign up for that?
They can either contact me on Facebook, in Messenger, or at my phone number, 727-678-3761, or at my email, kristengieslin2@gmail.com.
Okay, and that's going to be up on, you know, when I post the show and everything,
right,
too.
Right, so. Right, yep. Okay. So that's going to be starting, the next Intuitive Mojo class is starting February 19th.
The 19th, so not too long from now.
Right. No. Okay. And we run for 6 weeks. That's a 6-week class.
If somebody misses the first class, can they still get in or not?
I would prefer for people to be there for the whole time. Okay. Because I really am taking them through the B-ism. We do the B-E-I-S-M. So okay. It's
and
good.
And that stands for?
That's for body, emotions, intellect, soul, and mastermind. And so those are different kind of, it's sort of a holistic approach to building your intuitive world in a healthy way.
Right. I think that that makes a whole lot of sense. It really does. I know you brought a deck with you.
Oh, yeah, I brought my deck.
You're right. So we're going to draw in the last few minutes here. We're going to draw a card or two. And what's the question?
Let's say, how can we help budding intuitives? What do budding intuitives need to be mindful of?
Okay.
I'm going to get out a couple cards.
Okay. This is always fun to do.
Or if you're already awesome. You know, you may be a crazy, wildly amazing. Okay. So the first card that came out is the Actor, Man of Wands, in the Voyager deck. This is essentially you're performing a role in society as when you develop these intuitive abilities, like a modern shaman. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're stepping out of the typical time space continuum. You're going into sacred space. So as you do your intuitive stuff, keeping it sacred and special is important.
And accepting those abilities in yourself.
Yes, definitely. That's part of your soul journey. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of what you need to do, both for yourself and others, is nurturing. Essentially, that's who you are, what you are. And then finally, through the weather, okay, the third card that came out, the second card was from the Voyager deck, the nurturing card, Three of Worlds. And then from the Sustain Yourself deck, these are all from James Wanless, Dynamic Equilibrium, which is the weather card. So through emotional weather, through astrological weather, through political weather, through all of it, our goal is to stay in balance. And that's a balance that sometimes requires some shifting and movement. As long as the scales aren't going clang, 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 we're good. You know, those scales are going to go up and down, up and down. So we want to cultivate a way to maintain equanimity and stay in balance as these different gifts open, so that we don't get ungrounded.
How would someone know if they were out of balance? Because I think that's a key here. Sometimes we just really don't know.
Right. I think that's if you feel really overwhelmed.
Okay.
Okay. Feeling really overwhelmed, not being able to meet your basic needs in some form or fashion. If you find yourself getting overly emotional, if you're sick, like chronic illness, chronic stuff, not just the cold or whatever, but if you're getting some chronic health conditions, that's an out of balance. What else can you think of, Lucy, that's an out of balance sign?
I would say if relationships maybe are beginning to be very
difficult.
Conflicting.
Too much conflict with others.
Right. Mm-hmm. And whether it's at work or whether it's in just your personal space.
Right.
That usually tells you that you need to step back a little bit and take a look. I know one of the things that I personally do, and I think you do it as well, but there are a lot of times when I'm feeling that conflicting emotion and I'm not sure where it's coming from, and I'll write. And so I don't use a journal so much anymore, although I've gone back and looked at some of my journals. But what I do is I write on the computer, and then I'll read it many, many times. And then, you know, I might fine tune it because I'll say, okay, you need to delve into this a little bit more. And then I'll print it out and I'll keep it. And it helps me see the pattern.
Right. And sometimes when I think there might be a conflict, I like to wait and give it space to see if it resolves itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find many times when stuff comes up with people, I really don't need to do anything. I just need to be patient and see how things play out. And so many times the situation will just resolve itself.
It does. I think it was just last week, but we were talking about the importance of, you know, we're given two ears to listen twice as much as we speak. And it's something that I think everybody needs to probably be aware of more and more within themselves, because we're so busy trying to answer a question, or we're so busy trying to interrupt and get our point put into place, that we haven't really heard the other person out. And so that's an interesting, again, part of intuition. Sometimes it's just biting your tongue and listening.
Right, and listening for understanding, because sometimes people don't say exactly 100% what they're trying to communicate. They're doing the best they can. But if you're getting the gist, the goal is to get the gist of that message.
Right. Well, listen, I really love having you here all the time. So you'll be back in probably about 3 months. And one of the fun things that we're doing, and I'll mention this, is that all of the people that have been on my radio show are going to be getting together and meeting each other for the first time towards the end of March. And so I think, you know, we've got just an amazing, eclectic group of people that will love learning from each other and meeting each other and finding out how they can support one another, you know, in this little group of individuals that have been brought together, you know, for the Synergy Connection radio show. So please let everybody know about Kristen's show today. You can go to synergyconnectionradio.com. The shows are archived there if you've missed today's program. And otherwise, I hope everybody has just a wonderful remainder of your weekend, and go out there and make next week your very best life. Thanks so much. Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you.